Proverbs 11:21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. All right. In case you are not clear in the old English, actually this is just pure straight up English. It's not hard to understand, right? You don't need a lexicon to figure this out. It's talking about justice. Justice, that's the theme. The wicked shall not be unpunished. We want justice. Everybody wants a little justice. We all recognize the need for justice. And here it tells you several things about justice. In fact, if you pay attention to it, you notice, at least I did, I noticed five things. I want to make sure you notice those five things about justice. Did you notice the dichotomy of justice? Sinners, wicked, and righteous, saved. It's a dichotomy. It's a binary. You might ought to pay attention to the binary. All right. Did you notice the delay of justice? It's right in there. There's obviously somebody's a little bit worried about, well, why? Why hasn't it happened yet? Why are the wicked still going free? What's going on? They will not be unpunished, but there's a delay, and the delay is exasperating. All right. Did you notice the denial of justice? But some people don't even believe in the concept. Some people think, no, it's not going to happen. There's no such thing. But God insists the wicked will not be unpunished. Did you notice the delusional defiance of justice? Says, though hand join in hand, it ain't going to make any difference. In other words, somebody's defying it. Somebody thinks with a little help from my friends, I can defy justice. But that's not going to work either. It's delusional. And did you notice the dependency of deliverance? It'll throw you. It's almost New Testament in its character. So every once in a while, you'll see a little bit of the gospel right there, even in the Proverbs. It's the seed of the righteous that are delivered. There's a dependency, and it's a very important point explained in detail in the New Testament and explained quite a bit by our Sunday school teacher this morning. It was excellent. So I'm going to deal with these five issues and try to get you out of here by noon. I'll do my best. But let's ask the Lord to bless us. God, I ask you to take care of us, and I ask you to talk to us. I ask you to use your word. I ask you to carry the word all the way to the heart, especially if there's some heart here that doesn't know you, hasn't made that commitment, hasn't made that decision, that you would persuade even this morning that they could give their lives to you and know you as a Savior. I ask you that. I ask you to bless my dad who's not feeling well and had to go home. I ask you to take care of him in his long life, Lord, of trying to serve you. I ask you to be special to him and take care of him and his need right now. And I ask you to bless us in our plans. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This verse insinuates these five realities about justice. It's insinuating. It doesn't go out and explain them all in detail. That's what I'm here for. I'm going to explain it to you in detail. Try to let you see what I saw. There it is. You can notice it if you pay attention to it. Sometimes you just got to stop and consider. Stop and meditate a little bit on God's word. Find out if it's a little deeper than you think. And here, it just stuck out at me while I was reading the book of Proverbs. The hand join in hand. It doesn't matter how you try, how hard you try. This is something that's not going to be thwarted. Justice is coming. The wicked shall not be unpunished. As hard as that is to believe sometimes. The wicked shall not be unpunished. But you need to notice, first of all, the dichotomy. It's divided into two. It's a binary thing. Now, we like binary. We like black and white. We like no gray area. We don't want too much sophistication. We want to know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. Back when the Westerns were real simple, and you had the ones in the black hats and you had the ones in the white hats, and Roy Rogers would come up in the white hat, well, you knew that was one of the good guys. And they still do it today, especially American movies and American novels and such. They want to make the bad guys out as completely bad, so you have a pure emotion when they die. And you don't want to feel compunction at all. You don't want to feel like it's a bad thing that we had to kill these people because they're bad. Think about the Lord of the Rings, all those orcs. I mean, they bleed black blood. They aren't normal. You gotta kill them all. They have no redeeming qualities. We want the bad guys to be altogether bad. And we want the good guys to be, heroes. They're heroes. They've got no flaws, no failures. They're good people. That's the way we like it. But that's not the way life is. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I don't know any of these righteous, altogether righteous people. And I don't know of any of these wicked, altogether wicked people. And that's why you got people confused. They think, well, which one am I? And that's why people are actually willing to deny that they've sinned. Well, because I don't think I'm as bad as all that. I mean, I make mistakes, right? We grade on a curve. We see the gray area. I'm not much worse than you. I might even be a little better than you. And so we grade ourselves on a curve and we think, well, you know, it's just not black and white. Who knows who's wicked and who knows who's righteous? But did you notice that the Bible is constantly turning things into a binary? God is not against binary, folks. Don't worry about all these new folks that are non-binary. They don't know what they're talking about. They are binary. God makes people binary, male or female. It's the way it is. It's a binary. God did that. God decided that. Well, why? Well, because God thinks in terms of binary. And when he talks about salvation, it's a binary thing. You either are or you're not saved. Right. And I could ask you, are you married? And you wouldn't say, well, I'm 30% married. You would say either yes or no. You see, that's a binary. You either are married or you're not married. Now, there have been some situations where the guy says, well, you know, we got married in by the state, but we didn't get married in the church. And they think, oh, so, yeah, okay, you can get a little bit of the difficulty. You say, well, how do we make it? How do we know? There's always a gray area. There's always exceptions, right? But God's saying here, no, no exception. Amen. You're either saved or you're lost. Amen. You're either right with God or you're his enemy. You say, but, well, I'm not his enemy, so I must be right with God. But you know better. Yeah. Amen. You know better. You know you're not right with God. You know you haven't lived right. You know you're not righteous, right? Amen. So you have to come up, and religions do this. They come up with a middle way. That's why they invented purgatory. You realize purgatory is not in the Bible? It's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. The Bible says that Christ by himself purged our sins. There's nothing left to purge. It's all been done. The purging is done. You don't have to go to the waiting room of heaven to purge your sins so that you get yourself clean so you finally can go. That was invented by people who don't like the binary. They don't like the idea that somebody is lost, 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 all the way lost. When he was just close to being saved, 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 all the way saved. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that it's a binary. None of us are that distinguishable. But God has a way of distinguishing us. Amen. He can look down and say, saved, lost. Yep. He knows the difference. And you might have a hard time knowing the difference. Unless you read the Bible and you find out that it's not about what you do. It's about who you believe. Amen. Amen. Do you know who you believe matters? Amen. What you believe matters. Amen. And God's not judging you based on how many good things you do compared to how many bad things you do, because in that sense, there's no binary. I mean, we're a spectrum. Everybody likes that word nowadays. Spectrum. Rainbow. That's a big deal. Rainbow. There's a spectrum of genders. There's a spectrum of sexual identities. There's a spectrum of beliefs. But not in God's mind. God says, black or white, you're either saved or you're lost. And you say, well, how can he tell that? He's not judging how bad you are or how good you are. He's judging who you follow, who you belong to, who you believe, what you believe. You see, because the wicked are those that do not agree with God. And the righteous are those that have submitted to God and agree with Him. And the difference between the righteous and the wicked is not the degree of how wicked they are or how righteous they are. It's simply a matter of, do they agree with God or not? So the question is, which one are you? Do you agree with God or not? Have you submitted to God's word or not? Have you made the decision to give your life to God or not? That's the dichotomy. God divides us into saved and lost, righteous and wicked. He knows how to judge. He can look and say it. And by the way, all of us reach the binary at some point. In fact, most decisions that are made come down to a binary. Yes or no. It's simply a yes or no. I'm building a house and I've hired contractors. And I come down, we negotiate, we talk about this, we talk about that. What are you going to include? What are you going to not include? How much can you go down? How about whatever? And we finally reach some point where I have to say yes or no. You see, it always gets to a binary. I work in the justice system. I interpret in the courts. And so I'm constantly paying attention to all this. And the judges, they got to make decisions. But you know, they have to finally come down and make a decision. Just like the jury has to make a decision. Is he guilty or not guilty? There's no in between. You don't go, he's 30% guilty. We don't have that in our justice system. It always comes down to a binary. Either they're let go scot-free or they're guilty and they're going to be punished. So don't pick on God. God's just making a decision. And you know, decision is an adult thing. That's why you should not go to McDonald's and ask your children, what do you want? You're the adult. You tell them what they want. I just saved you a lot of trouble if you listen to me. And I saved everyone behind you a lot of trouble if you listen to me. Binary is necessary. You have to reduce your options to the binary. Yes or no? Black or white. You've got to reduce your options to the binary, and then you've got to make a decision. And that's the way it is with God, too. You have to make a decision about God. You can't just live in the ether. You can't live in the gray area. You can't say, I have not decided one way or the other, because that's a decision. Either you give yourself to God and become His so that He can consider you righteous, or you're not righteous. You're wicked, and the promise is, you will not be unpunished. All right, our next insinuation is the delay. Did you notice it's always insinuating a delay? And it's not really insinuating, because we all know it's delayed. How many of you have really seen true justice happen? Now, I'm telling you, sometimes it's really close. Right? I mean, have you ever read the book of Esther? Read the book of Esther, and I'm telling you, man, it's called poetic justice. Yeah. It's where the guy who gets real angry because somebody disrespected him, so he goes out of his way to kill this man. And not just him, but all of his family and everybody that's any way related to this man. He wants to kill them all. And he builds a gallows. He's an evil man. He builds a gallows. He's going to hang that man on that gallows. And it turns out that the king, something happened or another, and the king says, Haman, I want to know, what should I do to the person I want to honor? Oh, make somebody walk in front of him on your royal horse and say, this is the man the king delights to honor. He says, you do that to the fellow you hate. And so Haman has to walk around the city saying, here's the man the king wants to honor, the man he hates. That's kind of poetic justice, right? How often do you see that in your life? You talk about the delay in justice. I got some verses I like. Let's read these. I don't like them because of what they say. I just like them because they express what I want to say now very clearly. Chapter 4, Ecclesiastes. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. And they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power. But they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better than they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Have you ever been despondent? Have you ever been in despair? Have you ever looked and said, this is just not right. Things are not right. Where's the justice? The oppressors, they've got all the power. Oh yeah. And here in the United States, we start to feel like we can make justice happen. But you know, in other countries, they're not nearly as optimistic as we are.
Right.
They kind of have to resign themselves to the injustice.
Right.
Happens all the time. I've lived abroad and I know that. And if you've lived abroad, you know that. We have a sense of optimism in the United States about justice, but I think it's starting to fade.
Right.
Because you look around and justice is not being done. Bad guys are being set out on the street. And good guys are being put in prison. True. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
People who stand up for truth and righteousness and just tell the truth, they'll get put in prison. There are people in Canada, pastors in Canada, in prison right now for just telling the truth about the binary. About the male-female issue. Just telling the truth. And you think it's not coming here. I believe it is coming here. I believe it's all starting to show up. Justice is not being done. The wicked are not being punished. So you can just see, wow. But you know, this is exasperating. I don't like the delay. I want justice now. And God says, it'll happen. And you say, no, but now. He says, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But you know what happens when people don't believe in this? They don't believe it's going to happen? Well, they start taking the law into their own hands. That's why you have these road rage incidents. Because they get tired of these jerks getting away with it. So they chase them down and shoot them. But that's not justice either. It's not justice. We don't see justice happening. I don't see it. And I work in the justice system. I work in the justice system and I don't see justice happening. And boy, I would like it. All of us would like it. We'd like to see justice happen until we realize it would happen to us too. I mean, that rock's going to fall on me. I hang myself with my own rope, like Haman. Yeah, justice is a little bit tricky. And that's why there is a delay. Even the Bible says, you just shouldn't judge right now. Don't judge before the time because all things have to be considered. We got to see the end from the beginning. We got to see it all before we make our judgment. And that's God. He's a very patient God because justice requires patience. It requires consideration. It requires seeing all sides of an issue. And aren't you glad he delayed justice for you?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he said, I'm not going to crush you yet.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a little space. I'll give you a little room. And of course, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Amen.
How about Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 8? He says this, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. You need to believe that. You need to believe that justice is coming. It has not been forgotten. There is justice on the way.
Amen.
That's what the promise of the Messiah always was. Finally, somebody's going to come and institute righteousness on the earth. That's what the promise of the Messiah is. The Messiah's coming. Always. It was promised. He's going to make things right. Everything's going to be made right. All the hills are going to be made flat. All the crooked places are going to be made straight. Things are going to start working like they're supposed to. Justice is coming. But it's delayed and it bothers you. And it bothers me and it bothers Solomon. That's why he said, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Seems like they're going to be unpunished. It sure does seem like it. And they're not punished yet. What's taking God so long? That's one of the complaints people have against God. They say, if there's such a thing as a God, then why is there so much evil in the world? Because God hasn't crushed you yet.
Right. Amen.
That's the mercy of God. That's why there's still evil in the world. He didn't want to stomp on you like a bug. That's why, folks, that's why you ought to be thanking God that there's still evil in the world. He's given you a chance. All right. There's a third insinuation here, and that is the denial of justice. That is, some people say the thing, the concept itself is flawed, and it doesn't really exist. These are just as absurd as the people who don't believe in a creator. They don't believe in creation. They think stuff just happens. They think universes just go, poof, there we are. Nobody did it. It just happened. And if you ask them, well, how did it happen? Well, we don't know, but we speculate there might have been many, 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 many universes. That doesn't solve your problem. That just makes it worse. No. You can't figure out how one universe comes into being, and so you speculate that there are billions of them. You're so foolish as to think that there's such a thing as an uncreation. Stuff that exists that had no maker. That is foolish. That is absurd. Now there are people who think that justice does not exist. It's a construct in our mind. It's a self-deception where we feel like there ought to be justice. But I'll bet you know in your heart that justice is real. It's as real as anything you've ever experienced. It's as real as the taste of a watermelon. It's as real as a night thunderstorm. It's just that real. Justice is real. And you have a sense of it. You have a sense of it. You know when you haven't been treated right. In fact, I've noticed, I had 5 kids and I've got 14 grandkids. And what I've noticed is they all know what justice is. Every single one of them is a genius when it comes to justice. They know they didn't get as much ice cream as that other person. They know it immediately. And if you commit any sort of hypocrisy, I mean, even the slightest bit of inconsistency in your meeting out of justice, they will pick up on it immediately. But you did not do that to them. Well, how is it that they know so much about justice? I know people that have been studying it for dozens of years, and they still struggle at certain things. And yet kids know it right away. That ain't right. I'll bet you said that this week. You say, that ain't right. Why? Because you're a judge. You know justice. You know exactly what we're talking about. Everyone in this room knows what we're talking about. Who are these absurd people that say it doesn't exist? It's just an invention of our evolved minds. So foolish that anybody could possibly think that there is no such thing as justice, that there's no reason to worry about it, no reason to seek it, no reason to pray for it, no reason to hope for it or to wait for it, no fear of it. Who are these people? They're irrational. It's an irrational denial of justice. Anyone who says, no, it doesn't exist, and pretends that they're okay with that, they're lying. Just like the ones that say they have no sin, and Brian mentioned it this morning, they're liars. They haven't deceived themselves. They are liars. So these people who say they don't believe in such a thing as justice, there's no such thing as right and wrong, there's no such thing as a judge that's coming, it's all going to be, it's just a matter of evolution. I'm telling you, this is a pathway to sociopathy. This is what produces Hitlers and Stalins when they think there's no real such thing as judgment and justice. And morality and right and wrong. It's only the law of the jungle. Whoever's strongest wins. And that's the idea that they've got. That there's no justice. That's as foolish as a thing has ever been brought up. And there's been a lot of stupid things brought up. The denial of justice. No, the Bible says you know. Romans chapter 2. Let me read it to you. Not the whole chapter. Calm down. Romans chapter 2, let's read the last verse of the chapter 1 says, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now chapter 2, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. And that's everybody. Everybody judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Wow! You know what God says? They know. All of these super wise, intelligent philosophers nowadays that say, oh no, it's just a construct of our mind. It's just invented in our evolutionary past in order to make us more communicable and better. And it's the genes' way of surviving by making us get along with each other. Do you listen to yourself? You know what justice is. Stop lying to yourself. You know it exists. You know it exists. I've brought out that it doesn't matter. All these huge things are not near. I'm talking about galaxies and universes and earths and planets and solar systems. All of that stuff is nothing compared in our minds. It's nothing compared to the harm done to a child by an evil person. We would say none of that stuff matters at all. The destruction of a star, who cares? But the abuse of a child, whew. I'll bet you you've almost come out of your chair at the television when the news tells you something that happened to somebody. You say, I'm angry! I'm angry! Just give me an hour alone with that person. You feel it, you know it, and you're not wrong. You're not wrong. We all know it. And God says, you know it. God says they knew it. They claim that they don't know it? No. No, no. They know it. They're rationalizing. They're being absurd. And if you're on that wavelength, if that's the way you think, bless your heart, I feel sorry for you. Because you're denying what you know. You are denying something you know. God put that understanding in you. Even the heathen who do not have the law of God know what's right and wrong. They have the law of God written in their hearts. And it's true, the conscience needs to be educated because we can all fool ourselves. We need to be taught to listen to our conscience. And that's why the Bible is so valuable, because it gives you God's ideas about right and wrong. And it has transformed society. Listen to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives you such sophisticated depth of understanding of the difference between right and wrong. And he gives it to you and he makes it clear. And then your conscience is educated. But your conscience has always been there. And you've known the difference between right and wrong all your life, since the time you were a child. And if you went to college, you probably got educated out of it. But bless your heart, you need to lose that and go back to what you knew intuitively as a child. There is such a thing as right and wrong, and justice has not been lost on God. Amen. Nobody has gotten away with anything. Amen. It's all come in due. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. That's when we get to this other thing. This delusional defiance of justice. Now, you would think that this could not possibly exist. Who is it out there that thinks that if I join together with somebody else, I can beat justice? But it happens all the time. People are doing this all the time. They think that they can conspire and beat the system. They think if we get enough people, normally I don't put much stock in conspiracies. I think a conspiracy to be successful has to have no more than three people. If it has four people, I think it's highly doubtful that this conspiracy can get away with it. It just doesn't work. You get too many people involved. All this idea that the Masons caused the Civil War, give me a break. You know, or that there's people in our government that caused 9/11. Seriously, folks, you realize how many people would have to have a perfectly self-disciplined mouth to keep that secret? That's not possible, folks. Big conspiracies don't work. What in the world do you think? You can fool God, or you can fool that inevitable coming of justice somehow by joining up with somebody else? People do it all the time. In fact, I can tell you, people do it subconsciously. Because you get into a crowd and you feel bold. You feel strong. You get into a crowd all chanting the same thing, you feel invincible. You feel like we could do it. In fact, there are a bunch of humanists right now that think that if that humanism, that this idea that all of us together, we can do something. We can fix things. We can. And you don't realize you can't fix anything. All the humans together can't fix their problems. The United Nations can't fix the problems in this earth. They can't do it. All of them get together. They can't fix it. They can't create justice, and they can't thwart it. They can't do it. They don't have the power. Though hand join in hand, he says. What delusion do you have that you think you can fix something, or you can avoid something, or you've got some answer? You don't. I'm sorry, you just don't have it. And there's not any group of men on earth that could possibly do it. What does Psalm 2 say? Yeah. Boy, you got to love the Bible. You just got to love the Bible. He's already talked it all out with you. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God says. When I first got married to Debbie, she was such a sweet thing. She had never been around anybody like me. And I'd make a decision or I'd say something and she'd get angry. She'd get mad. She'd stomp her feet. She'd get so mad. She'd get smoke coming out of her ears. Her hair would almost catch on fire. She would be so mad and I'd get tickled. I'd start laughing. I just started laughing. This is just hilarious. She's so mad. And then, of course, when I start laughing, she'd just get even madder. It just get her so angry. Why? She was powerless. She couldn't hurt me. She was like threatening and all kinds of, I'm just laughing. I'm telling you, it's not, that's God. He says, you're upset at me? You're going to disprove the Bible? you're going to undo Christianity with all of your wisdom? Seriously? You think you thought this out better than God? Oh, I'm telling you, people, they're smoking their socks. They can't figure things out. They can't solve their problems. They can't even solve the easy problems. They can't solve the simple problems. Why don't you just stop the graffiti? Go ahead. Brother asked me, how do we stop the graffiti? I said, shoot them. That's not a good answer. I don't want anybody to take that wrong. But that's the only way to stop it. At least I don't know any other way. You can't solve any of the world's problems. And you think you're going to defy God? You think you're going to defy the Bible? You're going to defy what God has said is going to happen? Because God's laid it out for you. He's told you what's going to happen. This world is not going to die a heat death of global warming. The Bible tells you what's going to happen. Just read it. Just read it. And it's not obscure. It's not really hard to figure out. Read Matthew 24. Jesus tells you what's going to happen. You think you're going to defy that? Well, that's what these people did. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? We're going to finally break their bands asunder. We're going to get out from under this mean old God that has all these people thinking that homosexuality is wrong. Man, anybody knows homosexuality is wrong. Have you ever used an extension cord? We all know homosexuality is wrong. It's not a difficult thing. This is not hard. This is not rocket science. We know what's right and wrong. And you think you're going to defeat God? You think you're going to defeat simple common sense and nature by everybody joining together and making a compact, and you get into a crowd of everybody that believes that way, and you get all bold and you can shake your hand at God and say, I don't believe in that God. But boy, what about when you're all by yourself? And what about when you see God? By the way, God doesn't have to prove he exists. He could easily. He could convince every atheist in the world that he exists easy. I saw back in the 70s, I saw a movie called Oh God. I don't know if you guys remember that. Some of you aren't that old. But Oh God is with John Denver and I believe it was George Burns acting like he was God. And John Denver says, well, why should I believe you're God? He said, well, I don't know. Tell me what you want me to do. He said, well, okay, make it rain. And he made it rain inside the cab. Yeah. One little old thing. And John Denver believed. Okay, there's a God. Well, let me ask you something. You don't think God could prove it to you? In a heartbeat, he could prove to you he exists. In fact, I can't believe you haven't seen it already. How can you look around and think he doesn't exist? The God of the Bible has made it clear that he exists. He's made it clear to you. If you deny it, you're just being delusional. He couldn't prove it much better if he stood in front of you and said, I'm God. Oh, yeah. Why do the heathen rage? Look at Isaiah chapter 40. If you want to turn there, if not, I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah chapter 40. Let me see. Look at verse 12. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span of his hand and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? In other words, God did a lot of detailed work to make this earth you're looking at. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. This is God. Who are you? Who do you think you're standing up against? You really do think you're standing up against just old medieval traditions? You're standing up against the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible has told you justice is coming. And everything else he told you that was coming has come. He told you the Messiah was coming. He came. The Messiah told you Jerusalem would be destroyed. It was destroyed. The Bible tells you over and over again, Israel would be a nation again. There they are. Amen. What are you expecting now? All of a sudden now it's going to start failing? No, no, no. The God that you defy, he's coming. Amen. And justice is with him. Let me read you one more, just because I really do like this one. Job chapter 9. You could do worse than listening to Job. Job's got some things to tell you. Look at verse 25 of Job chapter 9. Job is saying, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me into the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. Who do you think you are, arguing with God? Why in the world would you tell God that you're not a female, you're sort of in between? Why would you say that to God? God made you. Why won't you just submit to God? Why don't you just let God decide what you are? Why don't you let God decide what's right and what's wrong? Why don't you just submit to God? You cannot argue with him. How are you going to stand up and say, no, God, I don't agree with you? Seriously? And don't give me this, that you don't believe he exists. Stop it. Stop deceiving yourself. Just look around. How do you know he exists? Look at your hand. Just look at it. That's no accident. Look at your brain. Look at your mind. Look at the knowledge that he's given you. Do you know what beauty is? Yes. Do you know what right and wrong is? Yes. Do you appreciate music? Yes. That stuff's not in nature. That's in the mind God gave you. God gave you an appreciation of these things. He knows. Have you ever laughed at a joke? Where are the animals doing that? Where are the trees doing that? You laugh at a joke because God gave you that ability to recognize irony, to recognize humor, to recognize the surprise of knowledge. Wow. You all of a sudden realize what you were missing and wow, it's ecstasy. God gave you that. That's not in nature. That's in God's gifts to you. We call them the rational senses. It's just as good. It's much better senses than the ability to see and to hear and to taste. And Job says, there's no daysman betwixt us. Job laments. He says, I can't argue with God. God's done something to me and I have no recourse. I can't defend myself. I'm trying to tell you folks that this is not fair. This is not right. I didn't do anything to deserve this. And even my best friends don't believe me. And who can I tell? Who can I say, stand up for me? There's nobody. Nobody's standing up for me. And that brings us to our fifth point. Our fifth insinuation found in that verse, the dependency of deliverance. Pay attention to what it says here. Save me. Psalms. Never mind. Verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Pay attention. The seed of the righteous. Not the righteous. The seed of the righteous. You see, now I realize you think, well, wait a minute, you're over parsing this verse. No. The Bible is a complex book and it knows a whole lot more than you give it credit for. And when he says this, it's like a precursor of New Testament doctrine. He's trying to tell you that it's not because how righteous you are, it's because of who you belong to. It's the seed of the righteous. It's people that belong to Jesus Christ. And they shall be delivered. It's not that they don't deserve the same things. Of course we do. We deserve the same things. But the seed of the righteous. If you're born again and you belong to Jesus Christ, you're going to be delivered. That's what it says. Oh yeah, the wicked shall not be unpunished. They shall not be unpunished. You can go to the grave with that. Good friend of mine was killed when he was 25 years old. Got into a fight with somebody and he won the fight. So that guy went and got a weapon and went and killed him. Probably shouldn't have gotten a fight with him. I asked his father, I said, how are you handling this? He said, I'm not handling it very good. He says, I want to do something. Because the guy got off, by the way, on a technicality. Just got off scot-free. Technicality. didn't get arrested right. Something was done wrong. He was just, they just dropped all the charges, even though they had witnesses to what had happened. He said, I want to do something. And I just quoted the verse. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He says, that's the only reason I haven't done anything. It's trust that God said it's going to happen. Nobody's gotten away with anything. Now, if you don't believe in justice, you will be inclined to take justice in your own hands. And that's why all these bad people in the world, and by the way, it's a spectrum, they weren't all bad, just like you. I remember, I'm telling you, I read a interview of Adolf Hitler's sister. Long after World War II, she was living in Brazil under an assumed name. Somebody found her and went and interviewed her. She started talking about Hitler. She was raised with him. He was a kid. He was like you and me. He was just like you and me. Don't get into this mood of thinking that you're all that much better than everybody else. All those evil people out there, they just had a wrong belief. Now, maybe if what they believed was true, they would be justified in what they decided to do. But what they believed was wrong. And because what they believed was wrong, they did stuff that was horrible, horribly evil, and inexcusable, and unforgivable. You know it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's hard to forgive people that do these things. But because they believed wrong, and you know what you got to do? You got to believe right. Amen. You got to get your knowledge from God and follow God, or else you will have believed wrong and you will be doing the wrong things. Right. If you deny justice, you are motivated. You are inclined to do wrong. And the reason why is because you don't think there's going to be justice later by somebody who knows better than you. Because you could take justice in your own hands and you don't know what damage you do. You have no idea. You don't know what's going on. And that's the reason God's waiting. He's waiting because he wants to judge right. And you got to have that kind of patience. It requires you to believe right. And if you would just agree with God, if you would just change your mind and say, God, I believe you. I just believe you. I'm going to trust you. If you would say, Lord, I'm going to let your book tell me how I'm supposed to live and what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to let your book tell me what is right and what is wrong. I cannot, just like Brian preached this morning, I cannot promise that I'll never sin. I can't promise I'll be a whole lot better than my neighbor. I'm not that self-disciplined. I know my weaknesses. I know my frame. I know I'm just dust. I can't offer you anything. Just like the thief on the cross, he didn't say, I'll be good for the rest of my life. He said, can you just take me like I am? Amen. And that's what you got to do to God. Say, God, I'll agree with you. I just submit to you. I submit to your book. I submit to your word. And I let you decide. And then God says, you are my seed. You become my child. You become my dependency. You become my responsibility. And the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. That's the promise of the gospel. Jesus says, I take it all. And he took all of our debt and paid it all. And now anyone who belongs to Jesus, he says, I will speak of you to the Father in that day. Amen. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And you know what that comes up to? It just comes up to you saying, I want to belong to God. I just want to belong to Jesus Christ. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The wicked shall not be unpunished. You can believe it. And if you want to know how to give your life to Jesus Christ in a prayer, simple giving your life to Jesus Christ in a prayer, and you want to see the promises in the Bible that tell you that this is true, not just because I preached it out of Proverbs chapter 11, but it's repeated many times in the scriptures telling you in detail what God is offering you. I'd be glad to show it to you. I'd be glad to open the Bible and show you what the Bible promises you if you would put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you want that, you just speak to me after this meeting. I'm at your service. Let's pray. You are the God of this earth, Lord. You own it all. We belong to you. And we know that you've promised justice. We do not have the power to cause it ourselves, but we're looking forward to your promise, to you doing the right thing. We also want to thank you for the salvation you've given in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of eternal life and the promises of life. We thank you for all of that, Lord. We have some people, Lord, that are not well. We want you to heal them. We want you to bless them. We've got some people on the road coming in for our mission conference. We want you to give them safe passage and protection all the way. And Lord, we want you to bless us in our plans today and bring us back tonight for your Lord's Supper. We want you to bless us, God. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight at 7:00.